As was mentioned, this is Easter week. On Friday, we will have our Good Friday service. On Sunday, we'll have sunrise service at 6 o'clock and our regular worship services at on Sunday. And we'll have the big Easter egg hunt on after the English service. So I encourage you to invite someone to come. They say 70% of the people will come if a friend just invites them to come to church. And Easter, for sure, is the biggest opportunity to invite people. Today, you notice pineapple. I put this pineapple up there because I don't like pineapple. I really don't. And I've never liked pineapple because every time I ate it, it is tart or it's sour. And I don't like tart or sour things. As you know, I like chocolate. But when I, like this family, I was called to that strange place, that difficult missionary journey to Hawaii. I'm just being funny. It wasn't that hard. But I went to Hawaii as a summer missionary for 11 weeks. And so we're driving around Kauai. We see a pineapple farm. And they go, let's stop. And I'm like, okay, I don't like pineapple. But I had pineapple that was cut fresh from the stalk. And it was sold at a roadside stand. I ate this pineapple. I was shocked. It was sweet. I mean, it was wonderful. It had come right out of the fields. And I liked it. I loved it so much, I even brought some home. And my family couldn't believe I brought pineapple home from Hawaii. But I know that some farmer had to grow that crop. Some farmer had to take care of it and nourish it. And then they had to harvest at the right time. It doesn't just happen. You just don't get wonderful, juicy, and tasty fruit. It doesn't just happen. It takes, someone has to cultivate it. In the same way, if we want sweet and wonderful relationships in life, we must cultivate godly relationships. In fact, the CCAC family, as they go out to Taiwan, I'm sure that's their main goal, is to cultivate godly relationships with people, to introduce them to God. We see this in the Bible. If you want to take out your sermon outline, John 13:34. Jesus says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I've loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Jesus is saying, go out there, cultivate relationships, godly relationships, based on my love for you and your love for each other. So our first point says this, relationships make our lives rich. Why are relationships so important? Because they make our lives rich. When I walked through the cemetery, there are no headstones that said he made a lot of money. There are no headstones that say that he had the biggest house in the neighborhood. They say loving father, good friend, kind man. All the thoughts are expressed in relationships. Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. One another, how we spur and encourage towards love and good deeds. God intended for you and me to live in relationships. It might be a family, it might be friends, it might be in a community or co-workers or classmates, but God intended it for us to live in relationships. So if we want a rich life, we need healthy relationships. We all need friends who will help us succeed in life. Real friends who will work to bring the best out in us. And we need to be real friends who bring out the best in other people. Real friends who will encourage and motivate us to do good and be the best we can to reach our goals. Look at this slide. This is a Zambian proverb. When you run alone, you run fast. But when you run together, you run far. The Christian life is not a 50-yard dash, it is a marathon. And we need brothers and sisters, we need people in our lives who will run with us. Relationships make life worth living. But they don't just happen. They just don't accidentally happen. We must cultivate godly relationships. And if we go to our second point, that's what it says. We must cultivate godly relationships. I live in a neighborhood where it has an HOA, and you know, every so often my HOA sends me lovely love letters. You have too many weeds in your yard. Your plants are dead. Please replace them. And I'm honest, I don't have a green thumb. I have a brown thumb. Everything I touch dies. You know, the reason why is because I'm lazy. And I forget to water the plants and they die. Or in the winter, it says, you know, freeze warning, you got to go cover your plants. I don't go do it. It's too cold outside. And they die. And the other day, they sent me a letter saying, well, you need to trim your palm trees. And I sent them a note back saying, it's not my palm tree. It's the guy behind me. The main reason I don't like to garden is I'm not passionate about it. I could care less. You know, so what we do is we just put plastic plants out in the front and nobody cares. But see, God calls you and me to cultivate godly relationships with the people around us, to touch lives and to bring them closer to us. So what do I mean by cultivate godly relationships? First, think about the word cultivate. Go to our next slide. Cultivate means you are intentional. When a farmer decides to plant a crop, he is intentional about what he's going to plant, what he's going to raise. You know, maybe you realize that your relationship with your spouse is not that great. Right now, you've been married 10 years. It's kind of boring. Maybe it's kind of joyless. Or maybe your relationship with your child, or maybe your relationship with your parent is more painful than pleasurable. You know, your relationships are stressed. Maybe that you go to work and that one guy at work just annoys you to death. Well, God says, cultivate godly relationships. You can change their life by changing the way you relate to them. When you accept this appointment, when you say, yes, God, I believe that I want a better marriage, I want a better relationship with the people around me, I want a better relationship with my family, or the guys at work or at school. When you accept this appointment, God will anoint you with the wisdom and the will to change that relationship. You become intentional. When I'm focused on someone, when I'm praying for someone, I know God wants me to cultivate a relationship with them, to bring them to Christ, or to bring them closer to God, or just to share a fellowship. I become intentional, and that means I become passionate. And when you're passionate, people get things done. See, when you're passionate, you'll get your hands dirty. I don't like gardening because my hands get dirty. I don't like working on cars because my hands get dirty. But I do love fishing, and my hands get dirty because I'm passionate about one and not the others. And we need to be passionate about the lost. We need to be passionate about the people that God gives us. And when we're passionate, we will do what it takes. We know what we need to do, and we will do what it takes. That means you pray like everything depends on God, and then you work like everything depends on you. So two sides of the same coin. You pray that everything depends on God, and you work like everything depends on you. That's what it means to cultivate. You are intentional. Then what does it mean to be godly? Godly means you glorify God with this relationship. You know, the world is full of ungodly relationships. All we do is hurt each other and yell at each other and full of conflict and pain. Godly relationships are based on the foundation of love. Let's say you have a worst job in the world, the most boring job in the world. You hate going to work every day. God says you can transform that job into a place of worship when you bring God's love to that place. When God's love is expressed through you to your coworkers and to your customers, you bring God's love to that relationship. Maybe you have a bitter relationship with your spouse or your family member. God says you can transform that relationship into joyous worship when you bring God's love through you to those people, to that family member, to that person who's hard to love. You let God's love, you bring God's love and you glorify God. You can turn it into an act of worship. Isn't that amazing? We can change any relationship when we bring God's love to it with us. See, all Christians have the ministry of reconciliation. Our goal is to reconcile people to God and also to reconcile people to each other. God is glorified when people are reconciled to Him and each other. And you have to ask yourself, is there someone in your family, someone in your life? Larry was sharing about someone who is cut off from his family. There is no reconciliation. Maybe we can help them reconcile. Maybe God wants you to get to know new people who need to hear the Word of God. One thing I've discovered as a believer is that as I get older, my pool of non-Christians that are friends has shrunken. All right? Most of the people I know are believers in my family, and all my friends are believers, and everybody here is pretty much believers. In my neighborhood, the ones that aren't believers I've talked to, and I kind of exhausted my pool. So I need to cultivate new relationships with people. Get to know people so they can get to know God. So cultivate is intentional. Godly means we seek to glorify God. Relationship means you grow together. It's a relationship where you grow together. It's not a one-way street. It's a two-way street. The goal is not to use somebody for your benefit and blessing. The goal is not to use somebody at work to make a relationship so you can get ahead or you can sell more stuff. The goal is to build each other up in the Lord. That means in a relationship, we pray the best. We pray for the best in this person we want to form a relationship with. We do the best for them. We do the best that we can. And we pray that they can have a happy, healthy, and holy relationship. We must work together. So let's go on to our third thought, which is how to cultivate a healthy relationship. First, you have to prepare the soil. We prepare the soil, which in people's lives are their hearts and minds. The United Nations did a study of farming around the world, and the United Nations says that only 11% of the world's soil is ready to be farmed. That means that soil is rich, it's loose, and it's ready. Anybody can farm it. But the rest of the 89% of the land in the world must be cultivated. It must undergo soil preparation. It must undergo work to make the soil suitable for planting seeds. See, if you want to grow a crop, you don't just dig a hole and throw a seed in it and put the soil back and hope it'll grow. You have to get the soil ready. If the soil is too hard, it needs to be broken up with a shovel and loosened up and raked and loosened up. And then you need to add compost, which is organic matter. You know, like people, they do composting now where they throw all their organic matter, banana peels and leaves and stuff, and let it degenerate and turn into dark, disgusting stuff. And that's what's good to mix in the soil to make it suitable for planting crops. When you compost, you loosen up the soil, you add nutrients, and the compost allows the soil to retain moisture necessary to grow healthy crops. Well, let's say you know somebody that, a family member, and you're not getting along. You're not getting along with them. And you want to improve that relationship. Well, God's saying you have to prepare their heart and their mind. You need to do something to soften their heart and their mind to be receptive to your attention and your love. You have to do something to their heart and mind to get their hearts ready to form a relationship. This passage tells us how. Philippians 2:1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and purpose, doing nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. If you want to soften a hard heart, you simply make that person a priority in your life. Hear what I said? You want to soften that hard heart, you make them a priority. You put their interests before yours. It's as simple as that. It might be your spouse or your child or your parent. You put their interests before yours. You put them a priority in your life. That means you're looking out how to serve them, how to love them, how to make them better, praying for the best in them. On the other hand, if you like to just criticize people, point out their faults, you want to condemn people, all you do is turn their hearts harder and harder. And it's hard to have a relationship with a hard heart. Now you just think about it for a moment. If you think about the person you're struggling with right now, maybe it might be a non-believer, maybe it might be a family member or old friend that you don't connect to anymore. The things you have done in the last 6 months, has it made their heart harder or softer? Or what are some things you can do in the next 6 weeks to make their heart softer and not harder? See, this passage says be tender, be compassionate, be like-minded. In one spirit, don't be selfish, don't be conceited, don't provoke each other. We look out for the interest of others. You know somebody that has a hard heart towards you, look out for their interests. Be considerate of their feelings and their hearts will eventually soften. So we need to prepare the soil. It doesn't just happen. Then the second thing we need to do is we need to plant good seeds. The seeds we're talking about is the Word of God. See, this is various seed packets, carrots and pumpkins. If you want carrots, you plant carrot seeds. I almost said pumpkin seeds. If you want carrots, you plant carrot seeds. If you want beets, you plant beet seeds, though I have no idea why anyone would grow beets. I'm sorry, but if you like beets, you come tell me after service and tell me why you like them. I don't know if I grow bell peppers or beets or peppers or... I grow carrots. That's about it. That's all I eat. If your current relationship is filled with bitterness, heartache, anger, stress, worry, anxiety, then you're probably planting the wrong seeds. All right? You're planting the wrong seeds. The seeds you probably planted were selfish and a bit impulsive. See, a lot of people want their relationship. They seek relationships only because they want to use people. They want to feel better. They want people to make them feel better. Maybe they're looking for a one-night stand. Maybe they're looking for a quick buck, or they're just trying to satisfy their current lust or greed. If you want a healthy relationship, you want a relationship that is happy, healthy, and holy, you have to plant the right seeds. Godly relationships require godly seeds. So when you're ministering to someone, trying to share the gospel, you got to plant the seeds that come out of God's Word to love and forgive and to show grace and to encourage. 1 Peter 1:22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere heart love for your brother. See, we get ourselves ready. We're purified ourselves by obeying the truth, so you have sincere love for your brothers. Love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. We want to plant those imperishable seeds of the Word of God. God's Word is the seed of our eternal salvation. To reap a fruitful harvest from the Word of God, we must plant those seeds in the hearts and minds of the people we care about and in our own hearts and minds so they can take root and they can grow. Cultivating takes time. It takes months. It may take years. God's Word tells us what we need to do and how to do it and what not to do. See, different conditions of the heart, of your heart, can cause problems. Different conditions of their heart can sabotage a holy harvest. If a heart is hard and resistant, it takes time. If a heart is shallow, it'll give up too soon. If a heart is deceived by sin, it won't hold on to the Word of God. So we need to go back. Maybe we need to prepare the soil in our heart or do more soil preparation in their heart and love them a little bit more. We need to get those hearts ready for the Word of God. The third thing we need to do to cultivate is we need to water and feed. And the way we water and feed hearts is with attention, affection, and actions. So you don't just plant the seed and walk away. You have to go back and care for it and take care of it. You know, plants need to be watered. Plants need to be fed on a regular basis. Every relationship needs attention, affection, and actions of love to thrive constantly and continually. See, one problem I've discovered with a lot of relationships, especially marital relationships, is this. If you ask one spouse, if they're having problems and they're struggling, you ask one spouse, do you love your wife or do you love your husband? Every time they will say, yes, I love them. I will die for them. I love them, you know? So what's the problem? Well, if I asked them another question, I said, well, that's wonderful. Do you like your husband or do you like your wife? And then they'll stop. They'll pause because they realize that they don't really like being around each other anymore, or they're irritating, annoying each other. And see, so a love must grow. It must be more than just that commitment. After 36 years of marriage, Larry and I share many things. We went to the same high school, West High School. We were married in the, not to each other. We were married in the same month to our respective wives. And coming on, what, 36 years, Larry, right? 36 years. We both married women from Texas. Come talk to us about that after church. Would you like to marry a Texas woman? But we were talking the other day about how after 36 years, you know, we're not just coasting. It'd be nice to just coast and go downhill. But our marriages require attention and affection and loving actions. See, we see the attitude of love in 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. This is the attitude of love we must have for each other. This passage describes clearly the attitude of love. You believe the best, you seek the best, you hope for the best, you wait for the best. Love does not give up. The love that God gives us is persistent love. Is it hard work? Yes. To do all these things, to be patient, to not envy, to not boast, to not get selfish, it takes hard work. And that's why those of us who love like this, we need to know God's love. We need God's love to refuel us so we can love a little bit more. Now I want to talk to you, just take a few moments to talk about what love really is. Love is three things. First, love is a commitment. Okay, when we talk about love and I do your wedding, you're going to make a commitment to each other in front of Eric, you know, to love and to cherish and all that stuff. You make a commitment of love. The Greek word for this love is agape, a committed and sacrificial love. I, till death do we part. Jesus gave up everything for us when he died on the cross. He committed his life to us and he sacrificed for us. We must be committed to each other. That means we're willing to make sacrifices for the good of the relationship. Guys, maybe that means you sit down and talk to your wife and listen to her. It's a little sacrifice. Men, maybe you take an interest in your husband's stupid hobbies, you know, like fishing or something like that, or my old fishing tackle and what they mean to me. It's a sacrificial and committed. Jesus gave up everything for you. But if that is the only love you show your spouse or your friend, that is not enough. The second love is this. Love is a feeling. And we see this word, phileo love. It's an affectionate and attentive love. With your heart, you express your love. With your mind, you make a commitment to love. When you love with your heart, this adds depth and richness to a relationship. This means that we love people from the heart. See, sacrificial love needs to grow into affectionate love. See, what happens is, if people are not on my heart, if they're not on my heart, they're on my nerves. Okay? Right? I'm not going to use my wife. If my brother is not on my heart, he gets on my nerves. If my kids are not on my heart, they get... See, I caught myself, Larry, that time. If your spouse is not on your heart, guess who gets on your nerves? We need to have that love and affection for them. The reason many marriages struggle is that couples are relating to each other from their mind and not their heart. Your wife says, I feel depressed today. I just feel sad. And men are like, just get over it and move on with your life. You know, your husband says, I don't feel like we should do this. And your wife says, we should do this. We should go ahead and do it. No, you listen and respect his opinion. Or you listen to her and listen to find out what's hurting her. Heart love begins when we understand why someone feels the way they do. Why are they scared? Why are they nervous? Why are they worried? That requires communication. That requires a dialogue, listening and learning what's going on. You hear the hurt in their voice. You see it in their face. You try to understand the problem. You don't have to understand the problem exactly according to their mind, but you have an understanding way towards them. You need to understand that people have different moods. And you have to understand maybe why the way they act like they do. They have this phrase in this thing I was researching, if you care, you'll be aware. Okay? If you care about this person you love, you'll be aware of why they are hurting. Love is a feeling. Love is a commitment. Lastly, love is an action. You say, I love you the loudest with your actions. You know, we just had the family come up and we laid hands on them. That was a loving action. We could have just prayed for them from here. But love is an action. You say, I love you the loudest with the things that you do, tangible and meaningful. Maybe it's just a hug. Maybe it's doing the dishes. Maybe it's a special meal you prepare or share. Maybe it's just listening to each other talk. 1 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possession and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us love, not love, with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. It's easy to say, I love you, but say it loudly with your actions. So what happens if you don't feel very loving? Oh yeah, I'm committed, but you know, I don't like this person anymore. We're not getting along. Well, if you don't feel like loving this person, you start doing acts of love. You start doing acts, the little acts of love, of consideration, putting their interests before yours, making them a priority, and soon the feelings will come around and you renew your commitment. Look at this book. It came out years ago. The Love Dare. And the premise of this was, it's from the movie Fireproof, if I remember right. The premise was that if you're a couple and you're struggling, what you do is the book challenges you to do something nice for your spouse every day for 30 or 40 days. Every day, whether they respond or not, you know, after the first week, they may not respond the second week, but the goal is to do loving actions, and by doing loving actions, it will help the feelings to come along. Because when you do something nice for someone and it's freely given, it's sacrificial, it is an act of love. Hearts can be softened with loving actions. So we need to water and nourish relationships. The fourth thing we need to do is we need to prune and weed. If we want a healthy relationship, we've got to remove those sinful attitudes and actions, the ones that we have, and maybe to soften the ones that people have. Galatians 5:24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. We crucify the sinful nation, those passions, those emotions and the desires, the feelings. We give them to Jesus. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Is your relationship struggling because you have become conceited? I'm better than you. Or you become provoking. You want to criticize them. Or maybe you're envious of what they have. Prune that bad attitude away. That means you cut it off. You remove it from your life. Maybe the weeds of anxiety and worries keep coming up in your life. You know, I weeded my yard. The next day, there are new weeds. It's like, what happened? You have to keep weeding. You have to remove them. And when your anxiety and worries keep popping up, you confess them to God. You give them to God, and you get rid of them. You pull them out of the ground. Look at this picture. Which grapes do you want to eat? You know, the ones that grow wild, and when you have a wild grapes and they grow on long branches, the branches get really long, and that means all the nutrients are being sucked away from the grapes and going to the branch. And so they produce a few fruit, the upper left, but they're bitter. They don't taste good. On the other hand, this picture on the bottom is cultivated grapes. Okay? They are pruned. The limbs are pruned. Unnecessary limbs are pruned. Limbs are pruned back to focus the food and the nutrients and the water into the grapes. That's how you make them rich and how you make them sweet. But it requires constant attention. Taking care of a relationship requires constant attention. You have to watch out for those weeds. You have to watch out for those bad attitudes and remove them. And then lastly, harvest the fruit. The purpose of fruit is to harvest. And harvest the fruit, which means you enjoy the rich relationship. Galatians 5:22. This is the fruit I want in every relationship. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Isn't that what you really want in a relationship? The Bible doesn't say, well, I want a lot of money. I want to be famous. I want to be proud of myself. No, it's love. I want to be loved. I want to experience joy. I want to have peace and no worry. I want to treat people with kindness and they treat me with kindness. I want to be good. I want to have faith in my friend. I want to be gentle. I want self-control. When your relationships are filled with this fruit, it is wonderful. It is blessed. You realize that all you need is this fruit, the fruit of the harvest that comes from loving people, caring about them, putting them first, nurturing that relationship, keeping it healthy and happy and holy. And then once that harvest is in, you share that fruit with other people. You share the fruit of your labor with other people, that same love, joy, peace, patience. And this is where you experience the greatest joy and the greatest fruit when you can share it with others. You be a friend to another person. You join a small group and you be a friend to them, or you get involved with other people in a ministry or work and you share the fruit. You bring in the harvest when it is ready and then you share the fruit with those around. That's why I'm always ready to help people, to give advice, to counsel people, to help in their need, because I want to share more of the fruit. So brothers and sisters, I just want to ask you today, as we think about this, are you thinking about that one person that you're struggling with? Or a couple of people in your family that you're distant from, that you're not having a healthy relationship with? Maybe you have to ask yourself, what am I doing right now that's hurting that relationship? What do I need to do to make it healthier? Do I need to work on myself a little bit and get right with God? Do I need to put that person first and put them as a priority, not to walk all over you, but to say how they're doing, to take them out to lunch, to talk with them and share with them, to laugh with them? Is there someone in your life that you need to minister to love? It may take a long time. It may take a lifetime. It sometimes happens. Sometimes it doesn't take any time at all once we humble ourselves before God. Once we soften our hearts, and then we can soften their hearts. Maybe there's someone you know. God says, I want you to cultivate a new relationship with this person because they do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord. God says, I want you to get to know that person so they can get to know me. It goes through you and me. You see them all the time. You work with them. You go to school with them. Maybe in their family. Now it's time to say, God, you've called me. You've appointed me. I ask for the Holy Spirit's anointing. We talked about this last week. Empower me, equip me, enlighten me so that I can build a relationship with them and start talking about Jesus. What do you need to do? What is God calling you to do? Maybe you're here today and you realize that you don't even have a relationship with God. God is far from your heart. You haven't been thinking about God or walking with Him. Understand this, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and rose from the dead to give you eternal life and also a meaningful life, a rich life with Him. Make a commitment to Him today and follow Him, and you'll learn how to love God, love yourself, and love other people. Let's pray. Father, we realize after studying today's lesson that we can choose to have a happy life. We can choose to be happy today because we know you and we humble ourselves before you. And we know that your calling is to go and cultivate godly relationships with people. People we already know but we're not healthy with, that we need to have a healthier life. Maybe people we know that are not believers, that we need to cultivate a relationship with them so they can know Christ. Father, I pray that my brothers and sisters here will be intentional, that they will hear your voice and say, yes, God, I accept that assignment. I accept that appointment. That they'll know your word and that they'll let the Spirit guide them and empower them to love people, to put them first, to think about them, pray for the best for them. Father, we know we can't do it by ourselves. We need you and we need the Holy Spirit to touch our life, to take control of our lives, and also to touch the life of the person you send us to, and help us not to give up, to be patient. Maybe it'll take a week, a year, a lifetime. We don't know, Lord. But we want to serve and glorify you. So touch our hearts in this commitment you give us, that we obey and glorify you. Father, if there's someone here today who simply needs to say, Lord Jesus, I want a personal relationship with you. I want to know you as my Savior and Lord. I want to follow you all the way to heaven and with all my brothers and sisters. I pray, Father, you touch their life today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand as we sing, and if I can encourage you or pray with you, please come forward.